chapter in the Word of God tonight. It's where we'll be. And it's been a great day in Tennessee, hasn't it? And a great day in church, and I'm glad you were here, and I'm glad I've had the privilege of being with you today and with my friend Brother Jody. And we've just enjoyed this entire weekend, and a real privilege to be with you. And I decided tonight that I wasn't gonna make any jokes about the pastor. I wasn't gonna say anything about his height or his hair or anything like that. I wasn't gonna do it, and so I'm refraining. That's what I'm gonna do. But it's a privilege, Brother Jody. God bless you. I'm so glad you're the pastor. God's using you. I was a little startled. He told me today he's been here 9 years. And my word, the time flies, doesn't it? And what that means is he's getting old, but I wasn't going to say anything about that. But goodness, the time flies, and what a privilege to be here. It's a great Sunday night crowd. I was just thrilled about it, looking around, and you guys have a great church. And I pray for you regularly. I believe with all of my heart that there's a great need in our day for our churches to go forward, to continue to grow, to reach people, to impact our generation. And if your town's like most towns, there's still a lot of people in your town that need Christ. And you've got to be a great church and a greater church and always a greater church and growing and moving forward for the Lord. And that's what I'm praying for you about. And I'm just excited to be with you today. Thank you for hosting Bethley and me, the kindness as you guys have always shown us, and we're very, very, very grateful for that. You probably noticed the book table. I'm not going to say much about it, but I want it to be a blessing to you, and do look it over. We have a couple of family devotionals. If you struggle with family devotions, ask us there at the table. We can point them out to you. Just a little tool to help you. One page for every day of the year. If you don't need a family devotional, I do have a brand new personal devotional on the table based on the Authorized Version, the King James, and it's really up to date, well done. You would enjoy that one. Have several on the family, several on walking with the Lord. I've got the Extraordinary series on the table, the Extraordinary Husband, the Extraordinary Father, the Extraordinary Wife, the Extraordinary Strength in Adversity, and those kind of things. So look those over. Jacob's the man that'll be in charge of the table afterwards. He's our 15-year-old, and he can tell you the price of things and answer questions for you. And he does take cash. He'll take a check. He can also do a credit card if you want to do that way. And we do have two sets of sermons on the table. I used to, years ago, I sold cassettes. How many of you remember those? You remember those days? I sold preaching cassettes by the hundreds, 2 for $5. That's how we sold them in our revivals, 2 for $5, except for Tuesday night, Brother Jody. Tuesday night was a special night. It was our blue light special on Tuesday night. They were normally 2 for $5, but on Tuesday they were 4 for $10. And boy, did we sell a lot of them on Tuesday night. People bought those by I don't know, the dozens on Tuesday night. They wanted that special. And then we sold CDs, and now we're at this stage of our technology where nobody's buying cassettes anymore, and fewer people are buying CDs. And so on my table, you'll find thumb drives of sermon. If you have a USB port in your new car, you can put it right in there. Just stick it in. It'll come up on your media player. And there's two sets of sermons on the table. One is on marriage. It's about tying the knot and strengthening the knot. That's on the table. Bethany and I both are on that CD. She has one sermon on there just for ladies, and I speak at the others. Those are sermons from First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And so those are on the table. And then several years ago, I was at the Wilds of North Carolina, and I preach in family camp, and there's a series of sermons on there from family camp in the Wilds of North Carolina. So if those would be a blessing to you, see Jacob, he is your man. And so he'll take your payment. If you have a well-behaved child, we wouldn't mind another one. We'd consider that. And we'd barter with a little bit on that one. So let us know if we can be a blessing to you. We want that to be. I'm in Matthew 18 tonight. If you were in the service this morning, I talked to you about having personal prayer, a prayer life. And I really wrestled with the Lord about this throughout this last week as I was praying and seeking God about this Sunday with you. It's not a revival meeting per se, which is what I'm used to preaching. And just having a Sunday with you, I sought the Lord about it. Sometimes on Sundays, I'll preach a lot on the family. I've done that many times here on the home, the family, marriage. But today, my heart was on prayer. The Lord kept drawing my attention, thoughts back to prayer. And so I took Sunday morning to chat with you about having a personal prayer life. Remember that place, the time, the posture. And I think a list is important. When I my personal prayer life, I have a prayer list. I bought a little moleskin journal. It's about the size of my hand, really. It's not very big. Bought it at Barnes & Noble bookstore. They came in a pack of 3.
And that's my prayer journal. And I have four pages in there of daily things I try to pray for every day. I pray for me every day. Don't you think I need it? And I pray for my sweetheart every day. She's married to me. She needs it. And I pray for our children every day. Pray for Abby and David. Abby's dating David. Looks like it's a done deal. It's coming up here. We're excited about it. I'm really happy that I like the guy she's dating. I'm happy about that. You know, how many of y'all parents know what I mean? I told Abby, be careful. I don't want to go to jail for the rest of my life. And I'm happy. I pray for David, Josh, and Bethany. Those are daily lists. I have a Sunday list. On top of my daily list, I have a list just for Sunday. And I pray for pastors and churches on Sunday. It's quite a lengthy list. I don't always make it all the way through it. But quite frequently on Sunday morning, I'd pray for your church, your pastor, because it's on my list. I don't always wake up thinking about Great Tennessee, but it's on the list. And when I get down that list, I pray for y'all. And then on Monday, I pray for friends. I got a second list for Monday. I pray for friends on Monday. I have two people on that list. On Tuesday, I pray for evangelists. And that's been a real blessing to be able to pray for my evangelist brothers. Many of them you would know. I pray for Ron Comfort and Tom Farrell and many of the evangelists you would know. I pray for every Tuesday. Wednesday, I pray for missionaries. Thursday, special requests. Fridays, I pray for impossibilities. It's a very short list. And Pastor, there's no way. No way. No way. There's my little list on Friday. There's absolutely no way. But I found a verse. And the Bible says that with God, nothing shall be impossible. So I said, all right, Lord, I know you could do it. I don't know if you will. I don't know if you would do this, but I'm going to ask for it. So I've got some impossibilities on there. There's so big, if God were to do it, I'd probably die and go home to glory. I'd be so startled. But I'm praying about it anyway. It's on my list. And so I want you to have a prayer list. God put it in my heart to talk to you this morning about you having a prayer life. You. Renew your prayer life. If it's been a long time since you had a real, genuine, incredible prayer life, renew yours. And get one. Get one started if you don't have one. Get it started. And just get at it. We were in Enterprise, Alabama, a little tiny Enterprise, Alabama. And I preached on having a prayer life. And this older lady, her daughter lived with her. Both of them had been divorced. Mom had been divorced. The daughter had been divorced. They never remarried, but they lived together. They had a 3-bedroom modular home. And mom had one. The daughter had one. The third bedroom was a junk room. That's what they called it. They told me that. I'd never been to their house. That's our junk room. But in our revival, God really challenged them about having a prayer life. And so they went home during that revival, and they cleaned out that junk bedroom. Cleaned all the stuff out of it. And put an altar in there. They built an altar, made an altar in there, placed a kneel, and that was their prayer room. They made that their prayer room. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you have a great God who still answers prayer, and we ought to pray. We ought to get on our knees. We ought to take things to God. You ought to pray about everything. You got a financial need? Talk to God about it. He still hears and answers prayer. Y'all with me on that? You got a physical need? Talk to God about it. He heals. He's able to heal. I'm telling you, it's the truth. God is able to heal. You ought to believe in that. Pray about it. Nothing wrong with that. All healing, you know, is temporary, so don't get confused about it. All healing is temporary. Every person Jesus healed is dead. They all died. So it's all temporary. All healing is. But there's a God in heaven who answers. I love what James says. You ever read it? James says, you have not because, which implies, doesn't it, that God would do some things, but he doesn't do it because I don't ask. And so you ought to have a great prayer life. Turn that TV off more than you do. You folks that are retired now, if you're not careful, you can waste your retired years sitting in front of the television. And there's nothing wrong with TV. Sometimes it's a companion in your loneliness. I understand that. But you have a God that's better. You have a God that's better than Hollywood. You have a God that's better than CNN and Fox and whatever else you're watching that's depressing you and discouraging you. You have a great God, and so start a prayer life. Tonight is another passage on prayer. And although I talked to you this morning about your personal prayer, really, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, I want to talk to you tonight as a group, as a church. And I want to talk to you tonight about corporate prayer, about believing as a church family. And you'll find that in our text in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning in verse 15 is where I'm going to start reading, but get the context. If you go back to verse 1, the disciples say to Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And so Jesus called a little child unto him and, and said to them in verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I heard an evangelist say years ago, he said, now when a child comes forward in our revivals to be saved, we deal with them like they're an adult. And I was reading this text one day and I thought, wait. He had that backwards. What Jesus says is when an adult comes forward to be saved, you deal with them like they're a child. That's what he says. He warns us about children here. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we're living in a theological hour. This is not my sermon, but we're living in a theological hour that discourages the salvation of children. We live in that kind of theology today, even in our fundamental Baptist world. I was in a revival some years ago in a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist church. And the pastor pulled my revival team aside early in the week. We hadn't even had our first service yet. And he said, now look, I want to talk to you a moment. He said, we don't lead children to Christ. And so you can preach your children's meeting, but we don't lead them to Jesus. We don't do that. Well, why not? Jesus said, except you become as a little child and be converted, you're not going to be saved. He says later here in the chapter, it's a strange verse. You ever read it? He says later in the chapter, he says, be careful about offending my little one, because it's in verse 10. He says, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That's a great verse, and I don't know what it means. Are y'all that? I don't know what I mean. I don't know what that means. I haven't been able to compare. You know, the Bible says you compare Scripture with Scripture. We learned that principle. There's not a lot of help to this verse. What does it mean when Jesus says, you be careful about the little ones that are believing in me, and don't you offend them, because their angel is beholding the face of my Father in heaven right now. I don't know all that that means, but he's talking about the salvation of children. And he's telling us here, apparently, I don't know if I'm wrong about this or not, but I think this is the best I can come up with. Apparently, Almighty God wants the boys and girls to be saved so badly that every child in the world, he assigns an angel to represent them at the throne. I know Jesus represents us at the throne. He died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. But he says there's angels there on behalf of the children beholding the face of our Father in heaven. How many of you agree that's kind of an odd verse? Yet it's the words of our Jesus. This is the context Jesus is laying out for us. He gives us a story here of the lost sheep in verses 12, 13, and 14. And then in verse 15, picks up and says this. Moreover, he says, while I'm talking to you here in verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many of y'all recognize these verses, do you? Y'all recognize them? Are they familiar to you? Are you aware of the fact that these are corporate prayer verses? Are you aware of that? It's about corporate prayer. In fact, I used to believe that, and I'd hear this all the time, we'd talk about going to church. Two or three of us are gathered in his name. The Lord's here because we're gathered in his name. And that is true, but in the context of these verses, that little statement, where two or three are gathered in my name, is talking about prayer. He says in verse 19, that if two of us agree, we come to united agreement on earth as touching anything that we're asking, that our Father will hear and do that. And he gives us this truth up here that he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church here. Go before the church with your problem if you have to. If you can't keep it between you and you, if it's a big enough problem that you can't solve it on your own, then go with somebody else. And if they can't solve it, go to the church. And if it's rebellion and sinful, then you'd have to consider that person a heathen and a publican. And then he says, and while I'm on this subject of the church, let me just remind you that God wants you to pray as a church. Now, we believe in personal prayer, but I'm convinced with all of my heart Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that our generation is missing the potential of corporate prayer. Now, you believe, don't you, that prayer is amazing and it works. Do you believe that? I know you do. And prayer is one of the ways that we know God is real. Isn't that right? When I go to God and I ask God for a special need and God does a miracle, then I know God's real. That's my God. He's real. I know He's real. Look what He did for me. Look how He answered that prayer. So prayer is amazing. It works. It's one of the ways we know God is real. Our Bible is loaded with prayer promises, isn't it? You know Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me and I will what? And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's full of prayer. I love the psalmist where the psalmist said, the Lord says to the psalmist, I'm the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Israel, or out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. I love that. That's a great picture if you're a country boy. You go down to the barn in the springtime and those sparrows, man, those barn swallows, they're flying everywhere. They're all over the place. And they're building a nest. And they crawl up there in the eaves of the barn. They lay their eggs. And it's very soon. It happens so fast. It's startling. Next thing you know, there's little baby birds up there. Boy, they're making all kinds of noise. They're just noisy in the barn. All you can hear is those chirping birds. And the mom and daddy bird are going crazy. All day long, they fly, 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 back, forth, back. They come in. And if you're in the barn watching those little birds, all you see is a little mouth. They're like this. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There they are, those little birdies. Got this little mouth open. And I love watching the mommy and daddy bird because the mom and daddy bird fly in and they land on the side of the nest and they cram it down his throat. I think it's adorable. They're like, put that in there. And I don't know if they don't like what they're eating or what, but boy, they cram it down. And as soon as they get it in there, here they go. They're gone. And they come back and they're cramming it in again. And it goes for several weeks of just that mouth is open. And here's the picture God gives us. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. There's a God in heaven who can hear you cry, hear your prayer, and meet your needs. Open your mouth wide. He says, I'll fill it. It's all over the Bible that you and I should pray. But it is also all over the Bible that you and I should pray as a church, corporately. Let me ask you a few questions tonight, do a little teaching. What is corporate praying? Let's start there. What do I mean by corporate praying? Praying corporately is praying together. The Bible says in this passage, two or three of us praying together. How long has it been since two or three of you got together and had a specific prayer meeting seeking God for a specific request? That's corporate praying. Sometimes we miss the privilege of praying with brothers and sisters. There's something strengthening about praying together. Corporate prayer may be praying as an entire church. How long has it been since your entire church prayed specifically about a matter and saw God answer it? There's something delightful to a church when they ask God for specific matters and Almighty God answers it. That's corporate praying. Corporate praying is praying with other believers of any number. Did you know that almost every amazing revival recorded in the history of the world can be traced to corporate prayer? You'd have two ladies over here on the island of Lewis that got together and the two of them prayed and 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 God came down and the result was that every soul on the island of Lewis was born again. Everybody on the island got saved. And that was only in the 1950s. Let's not go back 300 years. That was the 1950s. It was corporate prayer. Most of you know about the Burlington Revival several years ago with our friend C.T. Townsend. And I don't know, you know, what you know about Brother C.T. or whatever. Brother C.T. just showed up in town at a church to preach a revival that lasted 12 weeks. And 1,200 people were saved. And many of them miraculously. God just miraculously moved and worked. And the crowd went from 300 to 600 to 1,000. And they finally rented a tent and set it up, and they thought, we'll have 1,500, let's set up 1,500 chairs, and we'll have probably less than that, but let's set up for 1,500. The first night of the tent revival, 2,400 people showed up. 900 people and no chairs. And the result was God did amazing work. But it all started because there was a church in Burlington, North Carolina, that for many years met every Monday night, a group of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, sometimes 12, and they got on their knees and prayed corporately for a mighty revival in Burlington, North Carolina. Corporate prayer works. Am I making sense tonight? This is what corporate prayer could be. Your family. How many of you are married? Raise your hand good and high. If you're married, raise your hand good and high. How many of y'all are happily married? All right, most of you? It's a great thing to be married, isn't it? It's a great thing to be happily married, isn't it? Do you pray as a spouse? That's corporate praying. Do you pray with your spouse? That's two or three, isn't it? You ought to pray with your spouse. How long has it been since the two of you prayed together? And I don't mean you have to put on sackcloth and ashes, but I mean you ought to pray together. It's important. Beth and I enjoy the times when we pray together. There's something special about that. We pray for the children, for Abby and Josh and Matt and Jake and Charity and Abby's David and Joshua's Bethany. We're praying for them. We pray about special needs. We got a friend right now. Their little boy is having all kinds of complications, and it's up and down every day. Is he going to live? Is he not going to live? We're praying for him. We pray together. We got another friend. She's battling cancer, and we're praying for him. It was caught a brain tumor. Just shocked them. It was a surprise, but we're praying for them. We pray together about these. There's unity and joy in that. You ought to pray with your children. That's corporate prayer. We ought to pray. So the first question is, what is corporate prayer? The second question is, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to pray corporately? And I had four answers that I want to throw at you. One of them is, a couple of them are spiritual in nature, and a couple are practical. You know why corporate prayer is so hard? Because here's what most people think. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. How many of you have ever gone to a prayer meeting and prayed and nothing happened? Did you know that nothing will kill a prayer meeting like praying and nothing happening? Nothing is worse than praying and nothing happening. Sometimes it doesn't make a difference. It's all right, we ought to pray. We got to get together as a church and we got to pray, but it didn't make any difference. So there's some philosophical reasons it's hard. But there's some spiritual reasons too, and it's because corporate prayer involves spiritual warfare. The reason it's so hard to get together in a church, schedule a concert and charge $20 a ticket, and you can fill a stadium. Announce a free prayer meeting, and almost nobody will come. Six, it's hard. It's a lot easier to be entertained or to enjoy music or to listen to a song you like. It's hard work to pray corporately because it's spiritual warfare. And also because to pray corporately involves seeking the leading of the Spirit. And if there's one thing our generation is failing to do, we are failing to know how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Most of us don't know how. We don't know the Holy Spirit. We're not familiar with His voice. When He speaks to us, we don't know it because we're not listening. We don't think about the Holy Spirit. Spiritual warfare and the leading of the Spirit make it very difficult for us to have corporate prayer. So here's the first question. What is it? Here's the second question. Why is it so hard? And I found a quote somewhere along the way, and I'll read this quote to you. God intends for prayer meetings to make a difference. God intends for prayer meetings to get things done. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that, let's say Thursday night, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church at 7 o'clock is going to have a corporate prayer meeting, and everything you asked God to do Thursday night at 7 o'clock, God was going to do it. You knew it. We ask, God will do it. Be honest with me. Wouldn't you show up? If I went to prayer meeting and I got on my knees with my brothers and sisters and I said, God, my son is lost and he's going to hell. And God, I don't know what to do. You've got to save my son. And I knew that by getting on my knees with my brothers and sisters was going to result in my son getting saved. I'll promise you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd be at that prayer meeting and I'd be praying for my son. That's what God intends a prayer meeting to do. God intends prayer meetings to advance His church. That's how you get people saved. That's how you see miracles in a church. Somebody's got a need, you go to God. You cry out to God for that need. Last summer, a year ago, I spoke on corporate prayer at a church in Florida. And I actually called for a prayer meeting at the end of the service. We're going to have a 15-minute prayer meeting. Just 15 minutes. Actually, I think I said 10, didn't I, sweetheart? We're going to have a 10-minute prayer meeting. Just 10 minutes. And I said to the crowd, we're going to pray corporately, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Whatever He tells us to pray for, so we're going to pray for. I even went out on a limb, and I said, ladies, you can pray if God tells you to pray. Men, you can pray. And I said, I want you to pray out loud because we're all praying together. It's a corporate prayer meeting. And I want you to pray loud enough that we can all pray with you and listen to the Spirit's leading with you. And I said, let's just ask the Lord as a church, what do you want us to pray for? And so we go to prayer. And I started. I said, all right, I'll pray first. I said, all right, Lord, you got to lead us here. Help us know how we ought to pray. And help us to get our prayers answered tonight. And I stopped praying. One guy prays. Pretty simple, just a few short sentences like that, just short prayers. One guy stands up and starts confessing sin. God, I'm ashamed of the fact that I'm not right with you. This isn't right and that isn't right, and you forgive me, and I'm sorry. Next thing you know, somebody else did, somebody else. Next thing you know, we're confessing sin. The Spirit of God is leading us to be right with Him as a group, corporately. After we started getting clean, all of a sudden somebody stands. And this lady, it was a lady. She stands and she says, now, Lord. And she called a guy's name. His name was Young, like mine. I didn't know who he was. But she said, Brother Young, they told us he's going to die. He's not going to make it. His cancer's taken over. He's not going to make it. He's done. But you're able to work a miracle, and I'm praying right now that you'll heal him. Somebody else stands up and says, Lord, I agree. I believe you can heal him, and I'm praying you'll heal Brother Young. Next thing you know, all over the meeting, people are crying and begging God to heal Brother Young. I didn't even know Brother Young. They're praying God would heal him. Well, a few weeks ago, I was in church, in that church, on a Wednesday night. They had a testimony service. And this guy on that side of the auditorium, way over there, stood up and gave a little testimony. And the pastor said, by the way, Brother Young, that's Brother Young. Last year at this time, the doctors had said, he's done, the cancer's won, there's no hope, he's not going to make it. And there he stands, because God heard and answered our prayer. I'm just telling you, church, that's what God wants to get done in a prayer meeting. God wants your church to advance in prayer. How many of you would think it would be great in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to see a mighty harvest of souls, to see people saved? How many of y'all think that'd be okay? Would y'all be okay with that? How many would it take for you to be wowed? What would it take for you to be wowed? If 10 got saved, would that do it? I mean, I'd be okay with that, wouldn't you? Had 10 people saved. Wouldn't that make you want to wave a hanky? You may not even have one, but you'd feel like waving one, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that set you on fire? What if 100 got saved and joined Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Now, how many of you believe God can do that? There's no doubt He can. Do you suppose there's 100 people in Great Tennessee that need Christ? You know what we could do as a church? We could get together and say, all right, Lord, we believe that 100, there's at least got to be 100 that could be saved in this town, and we're going to get together and we're going to call for a prayer meeting, and we're going to ask you, God, to save. And let's be specific. God, you got to save Sam. You got to save John. You got to save Joanna. You got to save Sarah. You got to save. And just start, Lord, I'm burdened about this person. I want them saved. And I'm burdened about this person. I want to see them saved. And God, I agree with that. We're agreeing. God, we want you to save. 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 My grandpa wouldn't even talk to me. Wouldn't take my calls. Wouldn't let me talk to him about Jesus. But we were able to pray. And God did what we couldn't do. Grandpa said, I go to bed at night, I'm lying in bed, I'm 92 years old, and I lay down to go to sleep, and I can't sleep. Because all I can think about is, I need to be saved. Jesus, I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get saved. He said, I'd go to sleep. I'd finally go to sleep, and when I go to sleep, I would dream that Almighty God was talking to me, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I dreamed it. I thought about it when I was awake. I dreamed about it when I was asleep, and He said, I'm ready to get saved, and He did. It's an answer to prayer. Church, I'm telling you, we need greater faith than we have in our great God that He's able to answer prayer. God wants prayer meetings to get things done. Am I making sense tonight? And so the question is, what is corporate praying? Why is it so hard? And here's the last thing I want to talk to you about tonight. What does it take? Well, there's several things here. Here's what it takes. It takes specific scriptural requests. Here's how Jesus said it in the text in verse 19. I say unto you, Jesus said, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them, for them, of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to this passage you'll find in the book of 1 John. You ever read this in 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 14? I think I can quote it, but just to make sure, here it is. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Well, how do I know what's God's will and what's not? Well, here's one way to know without a doubt. Anything this book says is God's will. Here's one way to know without a doubt. Anything this book says is God's will. Let me ask you a question. Does the Bible say that God wants men to be saved? So it would always be in order to cry out to God to save sinners. It always be. And since God says he wants it to happen, I can go to God believing. I can go to God believing. All right, God, my son's not saved, and I know he's not saved, and you know he's not saved, but your word says that it's your will that every man in the world gets saved. And God, that's got to be my son. And God, I am crying out to you with my brothers and my sisters for my son to be saved. There is a God in heaven who hears that kind of prayer and answers it. You say, come on, Brother Young, you really believe that? Yes, because the Bible says so. If the Bible doesn't say it, let's not do it. But if the Bible says it, you and I ought to get together and have prayer meetings. Am I making any sense tonight? We ought to believe God for great things. In Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you know why you have churches like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Because there's people in our background, in our heritage, who believed in prayer. And they got hold of God, and they prayed with brothers and sisters and had prayer meetings, and heaven came down, and God did mighty miracles, and great things were accomplished through prayer. And God still wants to answer prayer. You ought to believe in it, church. You ought to believe in it. Some of you ladies, you got heavy hearts about a situation. Get together with some sisters in this church and get to crying out to God. I was in a church last summer, and the church was running about, I don't know, 250, 260, so it's no small church. And a group of men in the church were stirred of God to corporate prayer. They started meeting every Saturday morning, and they prayed for 30 minutes. They just set it a little alarm, 30 minutes. We'll pray as the Lord leads us. But one of the things we're wanting to pray about is that our church would see people saved, and our church would grow, and it would be obvious that God was working in our church in a fresh and new way. As in their church, a few weeks ago, we had 427 in the morning service. That's been in a year. In a year. I know in that church today, a man was saved this morning in the service, down the aisle, needing Christ, and he got saved. There's a group of men praying, and God's answering. And I'm telling you, church, it's great to have a great church, isn't it? And this is a great church. The heritage here is astonishing, isn't it? And the church is beautiful, and it's always clean. You guys have stained glass windows, isn't that cool? And you have chandeliers. Look at that. It's a great church. And you have a nice pastor. That's a good place for an amen. You have a good pastor, don't you? But watch this. Watch this. Church is more than those stained glass windows. It's more than those chandeliers. It's seeing God do great things. You know what your grandkids need to see? God do great things in his church. You know what my kids need to see? God doing great things in his church. Where God's moving. God's working. Miracles are happening. Souls are being saved. We prayed, God answered. We prayed, God did it. We asked, God came down. We prayed about it. God, look what God did. Look what God did. That'll change a church. And it happens in corporate prayer. How do you do it? It takes specific scriptural requests. I go to God and I say, God, this is what your word says. Your word says you're able to heal. By your stripes we are healed. Your Bible says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And Lord, our brother and our sister, they're sick, they're struggling. God, touch them and do a miracle. Sometimes God does it in ways, it's astonishing. I know one man, he's dying of cancer. The doctor said, you're dying of cancer. And so the church started praying, Lord, don't let the cancer win. Don't let the cancer win. He lived 8 more years dying of cancer. And every time we went to the doctor would say, I don't know how he's doing it. You shouldn't be alive. You're a walking dead man. Cancer never left him. Never left. He had as much cancer the day he died as he did the day they told him he was dying. He got 2 months to live, but he lived 8 years because in a corporate prayer meeting, they said, God, You got to help our brother to keep on living. He's still got spiritual work to do. In those last 8 years, he saw many, many people saved, and God used his life. See, God's able to answer. God's able. God's able. Church, honestly, wouldn't it be a delightful thing in our generation to be in a church where every Sunday morning, because we prayed, pastor give the invitation, and there comes a guy to get saved. Down there comes a lady to get saved. Over there comes a teenager to get saved. And over there comes somebody else to get saved. And boy, somebody's baptized every Sunday because somebody got saved the Sunday before. And they're growing in the Lord. And man, the church is starting to grow. And there's life in the church. And God is moving. And God is working. And you have to find a new seat because somebody came in and sat in your seat. Wouldn't that be exciting? Some of you have sat in that seat a long time. It's time to move. I said that in Canada a few weeks ago. And this lady from Cameroon was on the back row. And she came every night, sat on the back row on this side of the building, right by the exit door. And I said, I'm praying you church, your church will have such a mighty revival. So many souls will get saved and join your church that all of you have to find a new seat. And the next night she came in, she grabbed me, and she said, Brother Young, I'm not moving. She said, I will help them find a chair. I will get them a chair. They can sit beside me, but I am not moving. Well, God bless her. Stay where you are, but get people saved. And how do you do that? You do it in corporate prayer. Take specific scriptural requests. And you know, sometimes it takes spirit-led requests. All right, Holy Spirit, how should I pray? I don't know how to pray. Doesn't your Bible say that we don't know how to pray, and yet that the Spirit makes utterances for us? So what that teaches, I ought to go to God and say, God, I don't know how to pray here, but lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. How do I pray about this? How do I pray about that? How do I see my family saved? God, lead me. How do I get my family saved? Lead me. God, how do we see our church have revival? Lead us, God. Spirit, lead us, lead us. It takes Spirit-led requests. And here's what it leads to supernatural results. The reason God wants us to pray as a church is because it leads to supernatural results. And if there's ever been a generation in the fundamental independent Baptist movement that needs to see some old-fashioned supernatural results, it's my generation. Why, we discuss all the time, you know, oh, what are we doing about these millennials? Our millennials are leaving the movement. They're leaving the movement. Well, I got to tell you, sometimes I think about going with them. Because, you know, why are we staying in a movement where nobody gets saved? And the church is waning, and it's dead, it's 4 o'clock, and it's cold, and well, don't we want to see God move in our generation? The key is prayer. No reason to have a dead church. I heard a story a few days ago about a church was honoring their military servicemen that died while serving. And they had all these pictures on a wall in the lobby of the church of all the folks associated with their church who had died while serving. And this little boy was out there. He was looking at all these photos, and the pastor came up and put his arm around him. And the little boy said, what is this? And the pastor said, the little boy said, oh, these are the people that died in the service. The little boy said, the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock? That's a dumb story. You know that's a silly story. But how many of you agree there's nothing worse than going to church and it being dead? You ever been in a church that's so alive you couldn't sleep? Where God was so real and souls were being saved and the power of God was there and it was astronomical. It was awesome, if you can use that word. God is here. Look what God's doing. I remember being in a church in Cleveland, Ohio. They had a big building, a little bit bigger than yours, but a big balcony, 4 rows of pews instead of 3. And there was a guy on the front row of the balcony on this side. I didn't know it. I'm just preaching, and God is there, and God's moving. That man, his wife prayed for him for years. For years. He comes every Sunday night and gets mad and walks out before the sermon's over. If he makes it to the end of the sermon, he stomps out during the invitation. He comes every Sunday night, has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the Bible. But boy, the church had been praying for him. You should have been in the service that Sunday night. I got done preaching the gospel, gave the invitation. We just assumed he was leaving. He did it every Sunday night. Stomped up the aisle, the balcony, to the top of the balcony. Came down out into the lobby. Instead of turning to the parking lot, turned around, walked in the back door of the church, and headed down the aisle to get saved. Got about halfway down the aisle, and his wife's on the front row of the balcony. She sees him going forward. You should have been in that service. she saw him going forward. And it's a pretty dignified church. And she lost all her dignity. She turned around and grabbed everybody around her, was jumping up and down. My husband is getting saved. My husband is getting saved. My husband is getting saved. And then she started up the aisle, grabbing people as she's going up the aisle. Talking about messing up an invitation. He's getting saved. He's getting saved. Oh, he's getting saved. She went down the back, came down. She came down the aisle, grabbing people as she came down the aisle. You know what we need in our fundamental Baptist churches? We need a little bit of that. That comes through supernatural results as a result of our praying. Let me give you an illustration. I'm done. How long has it been since you read the story in Acts chapter 12 where Herod arrested Peter and put him in prison, said, I'm going to kill him? Peter's already, Herod has already killed James. Now he arrests Peter and he's going to kill Peter. And the church called for a prayer meeting. Listen to this little verse. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Intense prayer without ceasing. United prayer in the church. Sincere prayer unto God. Specific prayer for him. And supernatural results. God did a miracle. You ever read in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Now without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I paraphrase that for you? You know what that verse says? I believe there's a God and I think it'll make a difference if we seek him. Can I paraphrase that verse for you? I believe there's a God and I think it'll make a difference if we seek him. That's the point of faith. God, I don't know how big my faith is. I love this story because their faith wasn't very big either. They go to God at Rhoda's house. Y'all know that story? They go and have prayer at Rhoda's house. They're, as a church, they're assembled and they're praying. And they're praying, God, do a miracle. Get Peter out of prison. Don't let him die. God, do a miracle. God, do it. So God did. Angel came down. Peter's chained up between two soldiers. And the angel appears in the prison and the chains fall off of Peter. And the angel said to Peter, get dressed and get your shoes on. Apparently they stripped him down to chain him up, to humiliate him. So he gets his clothes on, puts his shoes on, and they go to the doors of the prison. And the Bible says the doors open of their own accord. We almost get this idea that we are the first generation to have those automatic doors, not on your life. You'll find them in Acts chapter 12. Those doors were automatic. It's opened of their own accord. And the next thing you know, Peter, he thinks he's dreaming. I'm having a dream. Isn't this a great dream? I'm dreaming an angel setting me free. Next thing you know, the angel sets him out in the middle of the street and leaves him. And he realized, I'm not dreaming. I'm free. He made a beeline for Rhoda's house. It's amazing he knew where to go. See, their testimony at Rhoda's house was, we pray corporately and God answers. Apparently. He got to Rhoda's house. They were in there all locked up. They're scared to death. I mean, this is a time when people are dying because they're Christians. Peter knocks on the door. Yeah, have you read this story? Rhoda comes to the door. I love Rhoda. She comes to the door. Who is it? It's me, Peter. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. It's me, Peter. She says, no, it's not Peter. He's in prison. But we're in here praying he'll get out. Isn't that interesting story? It's exactly what happens. You read it. Finally, she realized, it's really Peter. She leaves him out there. She goes back and interrupts the prayer meeting. I was reading this afternoon. You know what the Bible says? They said to her, oh, stop it, Rhoda. You're mad. She said, no, I'm telling you, he's out there. She said, they said, it's not him. It's got to be his angel. She says, him. She constantly affirmed it was so, is the King James phrase. Sure enough, God did it. God did it. God did it. Their faith wasn't that great, but they had a great God. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, this Sunday night, I was burdened to come to your church and tell you, start believing God for greater things. I was burdened to come to your church and to say to you, listen, your church has an incredible heritage and an amazing history. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. There's people all over this room, and you don't remember the last time somebody got saved because of you. There's people all over this room. You're wonderful Christians, but you don't remember the last time somebody was in this church, a new convert in this church, because of you. You know what that tells me? It's a sign we need revival. You can dot every I and cross every T and die. You can dot every I and cross every T that ought to be dotted and every T that ought to be crossed and die if we're not getting hold of God and seeing God do miracles. That's what God wants to do in your church. And I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to preach what you want me to preach, but I don't know how in the world, you give an invitation to this. The only thing I know to do is there's got to be some man somewhere in the church who would say, you know what, I'll set aside 20 minutes a week and call a couple of my buddies and we'll get together, get on our knees for 20 minutes and let the Spirit of God lead us. You can pray short prayers. Because when the Spirit's leading, it's not devotional praying. So we pray our devotions, don't we? I'm not praying for real. Okay, Lord, we're in prayer now. What do you want us to ask? What are we going to ask? What do we want to see? Okay, God, we want to see John's son come back to you. He's far from you. And all of us agree. And oh, Lord, please work in John's son. He needs to be right with you, and he's not right. Oh, God, help us, Lord. We're going to take 30 minutes here and pray for John's son. God, he needs to come back to you. And oh, Lord, our church hadn't seen a lot of people saved in a long time. Oh, God, pour out your Spirit in our church. Break our hearts for souls. Help us to see people in this town as lost and give us tears again. Help our church service to be alive with your power. So if an unsaved man does come in, God, you're so real that they can't get out. They can't leave. They can't. I was with Brother and Sister Lee Croy, Odenville, Alabama, a few days ago. Some of our favorite people, they're older. Brother Lee Croy built a great church in Odenville, Alabama. His son now pastors it, and his grandson's the youth pastor. I loved to hear his testimony. He was in a revival meeting. A church had been praying. He's just 22, newly married. Close of that service that night. His wife took a baby out to the car during the service. No nurseries back in those days, you know. She's sitting out in the car. And while she's out there, the Spirit of God's a working on her. While he's inside, the Spirit of God's working on him. And Brother Lee Croy got saved that night in the service. Church was over, actually. He's starting out the back door, and the Spirit of God grabbed his heart at the back door. Brother Jody turned around, came back in, got saved. While he was getting saved, a dear old saint in that church went out to the car. When she got out to the car, she started to speak, but didn't really get to speak. As Mrs. Lee Croy said, I'm ready to. I'm ready to. I said to Mrs. Lee Croy, how'd you know that he is getting saved? She said, I don't know. But I was just sitting in that car, and I knew God was speaking to me, and I knew my husband was getting saved in that building. And she said, I handed that baby to Sister. She told me her name. I can't remember. Handed that baby to Sister so-and-so. I made a beeline for the church, and I got back in there, and we both got saved that night. They told me that over breakfast a few weeks ago. It's corporate prayer. And so, church, you guys, your heritage here is phenomenal, isn't it? What in the world? Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Tennessee's oldest church. What in the world? It's a great church. My wife and I visited your church the first time when we were first in evangelism. We came sneaking into your building on a Sunday morning. And Brother Lastly, you preached that morning. And I remember your sermon because you told a story about coon hunting. And my papa took me coon hunting every Friday night. So that story piqued my interest. I remember the building was packed. We had a hard time finding a seat. It was electrifying. God's power was in the service. I remember that morning. It'd be a tragic thing to become formal and dead and nobody getting saved. It'd be tragedy, wouldn't it? Let's not let that happen. Let's believe God for great things. Let's pray as a church. Let's seek God. Jesus said, if two or three of you will gather in my name, I'll be there. And if you'll agree, touching anything, I'll do it for you. That's the promise of your heavenly Father. Now, Lord, I've preached the message you put in my heart tonight, and I don't even know that we need to give an invitation. I suppose we should. Maybe somebody needs to be saved tonight. Oh, God, do your work in this invitation, would you? God, bless this church. Give Brother Jody greater wisdom than he's ever had. Fill him with your Spirit as he leads this church. Fill the church with your Spirit as they follow his leadership. And I pray that the greatest days of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church will be just ahead, because we seek your face and see your power and see our prayers answered in ways greater than the church has ever known. Pray we'll have new converts that'll fill a building. I pray marriages will be restored. Sick folks will be healed. Sinners will be saved. God, do it again. In our generation, wake us up, Lord. Break our heart. Help us to believe in prayer. And help us to see you move in a mighty way. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you in the building would say, Dave, you know, I never thought about it, but that's really what I want in a church. I want to see our church alive and souls being saved and the power of God here. That's really what I want in a church. Can I see your hand tonight if that's true? That's what I want. I'd love to see that. How many of you would say, Brother Dave, I know people that need to be saved, and I'd love to see them saved. I would love to see them saved. Let me see your hand. I know people, I want to see them saved. And how many of you would say, I believe in prayer. I believe in it. How many of you believe in prayer? Can I see your hand? How many of you would say, Dave, by God's grace and God's help, I'm going to get together with some brothers and sisters, and I'm going to start praying specifically for God to hear these prayers. I'm willing to do it. Are you willing to do it? By God's grace and God's help, you do it. You do it. Start tonight. Ask God to help you. Ask God to fill you. Ask God to stir you. Ask God to speak to you. If you're in the building, the balcony, or the main floor, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can. He loves you so much. Jesus died for you and was buried. We'd love to see you on your way to heaven tonight. So, friend, if you don't know Christ, you come down an aisle. It would be our privilege to pray with you and help you to know you're going to heaven. Stand together for an invitation hymn, would you? They're going to play the song, and as they play, do you feel led of the Spirit to kneel and talk to him again about prayer? Then you do it as they play. You ladies, as soon as you're ready. Corporate prayer works. Believe in it. Believe in it. Believe in it. Is there any chance at all that there's somebody here tonight and you don't know Christ? Come down an aisle tonight. Come down an aisle. Come down an aisle tonight. We'd love to lead you to Christ and help you know you're going to heaven. If you're far from God tonight, come home. I'm asking you as a church to unite in prayer for greater things. I'm asking you to get together with some brothers and sisters and pray for greater things. Your God is able, and he loves you. You teens that are in the building, at 5:30, God was speaking to our hearts. If God spoke to you in that teen service, maybe you ought to kneel in this one. If God spoke to you in that teen service, and you should kneel, come do it right now. We'll go home in just a minute. This is a time for you to pray. Time for you to pray. I hope I increased your faith today. That's what I wanted to do, was to increase your faith. Leave church today believing God can and he wants to. Leave church today believing God can and believing that he wants to. Some are still praying. Give them one more verse, would you?
heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heard powerful messages today. We give the Lord the glory. What about a teenager? What about a child? Man, woman, husband, wife, father, mother. This is a message to act upon. What Brother Gary sing? Just one verse. And I realize the Lord may be through here, but I just feel led to have Brother Gary sing just one verse. And it could be that the Lord wants somebody to come. Nothing else, just to commit yourself. To pray as God wants you to pray. Maybe it's a family that needs to respond. You obey the Lord. Let the Lord have His way. As Brother Gary sings, you come now, would you please? The altar's open.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will.
Family, if they wouldn't mind to make the way out to the lobby. It's been a blessing to have him here, his dear wife. We've got him scheduled next year for a revival. I hope he remembers that. You're scheduled, brother. And we're glad you're coming back to be with us. The Lord used his messages in your heart and life. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I say amen with you. Praise the Lord for it. Brother Roger Cox, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer tonight, please, sir.